Father, we do worship your holy name today. We bless your name. We bless the Lord. Father, we pray that you would smile upon us as your children. And today, as the sun has come up and a new day has dawned, and we sing your praises once again, we pray that you would smile upon us and bless us, Lord. We think of you today, and we want to honor you by the study of your word. And we pray that you would draw out something from this lesson today that will bless each one of us, that we can carry with us to help us to live right, to honor you, and to find our hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen. In 2006, there was a study that was published in the American Sociological Review that declared that Americans were significantly less well-connected to each other than we had been 21 years earlier in 1985, when such social dynamics began to be studied. So by 2006, they said we tended to have fewer close confidants with whom we could talk about anything. We tended to spend a lot of time on the internet, on our cell phones, all this new technology. We simply weren't connecting with people like we used to, they said. And as a result of that study, there's been a lot of concern over how our advances in communication technology might actually be isolating us from each other. I mean, you may know someone who spends too much time on Facebook, not enough time in face-to-face relationships with real people. So that would be sort of a case in point of this larger phenomenon of social isolation brought by technology. But then in 2009, the Pew Research Center released the results of a follow-up study that looked more deeply at the findings of that earlier study. Specifically, they wanted to know whether our time on the internet and on our cell phones really was disconnecting us from each other. What they found was that actually, people who reported better connections with other people around them were the ones who tended to use the internet frequently and who had cell phones. And they tended to be connected to more people and connected to a broader variety of people. And not just far away. You know, yes, they could call a friend in Florida or chat online with a colleague in Kenya, but the study found that we actually tend to use our communication technology to keep in closer touch with the people who are closest to us geographically as well. Our families, our neighbors, people right in our own local area, the people we actually do see face-to-face on a regular basis. And according to their study, it's actually those who don't regularly use the internet or a cell phone who tend to be the most disconnected. Now, there's still a problem, according to that second study, with some people isolating themselves to social connections through Facebook and such. But for the most part, our electronic communications actually seem to enhance our live in-person connections. Well, it's an interesting disparity between the two studies. And to me, what these studies taken together seem to indicate is basically that how we connect with the people around us is changing. Fewer cards and letters sent through the mail, they pointed out in the second study. More text messages, more blogging, more sending photos electronically. More texting my wife instead of calling when I'm going to be home late. You know, it's just changed. We're still connected. We're just connecting in different ways. And it's taken a little time for our research methods to shift to be able to assess our new style of communication and measure it. Well, we're in John 14 through 17 today, a big four-chapter section of John. As we continue our journey through the Gospel of John, we're getting toward the end of this series of lessons and toward the end of the Gospel of John. John is showing us in his gospel who Jesus is, and he's calling us to decide whether we will follow him. And from chapter 13 to the end of the book, as I mentioned last week, John puts extra emphasis on explaining, as he asks us, will you follow Jesus? He also explains, here's what it means to follow Jesus. Here's what that's like. Now in chapters 14 to 17, it's just hours before Jesus is arrested and then crucified. He knows he is about to leave his followers. The whole dynamic of their relationship is about to change. And he wants them to know how, when everything changes, how to stay connected. So every once in a while in my preaching, I do something crazy, like trying to preach on four chapters of the book of John in a single lesson. This is one of those days. Really, all I want to do is focus on one theme that recurs in these chapters and show how it comes up again and again, and a little bit of what that means for how we live as followers of Jesus. It's this theme of being connected, being one. Jesus explaining to his followers, I must leave you now, but we will stay connected, and here's how we're going to do that. Because following Jesus is all about staying connected to Jesus himself, staying connected to God the Father, staying connected to the Holy Spirit constantly, and being connected to one another. Being one with God, being one with each other. So our text last week in chapter 13 closed with this exchange between the Apostle Peter and Jesus, picking up in chapter 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. We'll read about Peter's denials next week. Jesus knows that they're coming. But Peter's concern here is that Jesus has been saying he's about to leave. And Peter doesn't know where Jesus is going exactly because Jesus hadn't said. But Peter says, no, I'll go with you. I will lay down my life for you. I want to stay connected at any cost. It's like when your good friend moves to another city and you say, wait a second, before you go, how are we going to stay in touch? And you swap email addresses, you make sure their phone number is in your cell phone, and you make sure that your friend's on Facebook. It's like when you leave on a trip for work and your little children don't understand where you're going, how long you're going to be gone, that mom or dad's going to not be here for a while. And so you tell them, don't worry, I will call you every night. And FaceTime and Skype really help now, right? Because then they can see you as you're talking to them. You can see each other. They know you're still there, even though you're far away. It's like when the young man or young woman you raised goes away to college or to serve in the military. We had a few of those from our church this past summer. And before they leave, what do? You make sure that they have everything they need in order to stay connected back home, right? Do you have my cell number in your contacts list? Do you have the home number? Do you have my email? We're linked on Facebook, right? Twitter, do you know your home mailing address? So old-fashioned, right? Home mailing address. And then you tell them, if you need anything, call me, text me. I love you. You want them to know that you're going to stay connected. Everything's about to change, but you'll stay connected. And then you launch them into this new phase of their lives. Well, Jesus is about to leave. He's going to the cross, and then he will rise and ascend to go to be at the right hand of his Father, our God, in heaven. And he will sit on his throne there, and he will rule. His followers are about to lose their in-person, face-to-face connection with Jesus, whom they follow. But in these chapters, he explains over and over how he's going to keep them connected. Connected to himself, connected to God the Father, connected to the Holy Spirit, connected to each other in this new phase of their lives. In fact, even though he's leaving, his followers are about to become, in a very real way, the best connected people on earth. And this is part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So here we go. Four connections that Jesus offers to his followers then and now. And we'll just glance at these from a few highlights in chapters 14 through 17. First, Jesus, though he won't be physically present anymore, keeps his followers closely connected to himself. Now, John 14 through 17 is a big package of Jesus' final teaching to his disciples that night before he is betrayed. And it closes with a final great prayer before the betrayal happens, and then soon after that, he will go to the cross. Around the middle of this teaching, these four chapters, Jesus says this, chapter 15, verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean, or that word, that Greek word also means pruned. It's the same word. Already you are pruned because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And he says, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. He's telling them, stay connected, like the branches of a vine. In your connection with me, he says, you will bear much fruit. The connection, Jesus says, is love. So in verse 9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Stay connected. The Father connects to Jesus through love. Jesus connects with his followers through love. He calls us to stay in his love. The way we connect on our end is by keeping Jesus' commandments. Verse 10, he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So as we do what Jesus commands each day, we keep that connection with him strong, just as he responded to the Father's love by doing what the Father commanded him to do. And Jesus' primary command is this, verse 12, love one another as I have loved you. We just sang it a minute ago. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Live out that love of the Father for Jesus that grew into Jesus' love for us that now grows into our love for one another. If we do this, Jesus says in verse 14, he calls us his friends, a tight connection joined by deep love and a fruitful connection as the Father then prunes us and makes us fruitful and we bear the excellent fruit of love for one another in all of its various forms, embodying and modeling the love of God for Jesus and the love of Jesus for us. Stay connected to Jesus. A second connection Jesus calls us to is our connection with God the Father. It must have felt to Peter and the other apostles that Jesus was about to abandon them, but to Jesus it wasn't like that at all. Like a college student who has to leave the presence of his parents but is going to gain new connections with professors and peers who will be a strength to him for decades to come, Jesus connects us with the extravagant power and love of God the Father, our Creator. We just read John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. In being connected to Jesus, you are connected to the Father, God over all, the creator of heaven and earth. Whatever you ask him, you have his number. Just call. He will give it to you. There are obviously some qualifications to that promise in other passages of Scripture. James 4, verse 3 says, God won't give you what you ask for if you ask for selfish reasons. It's the same with college students who always call mom and dad to ask for money, and that's the only time they call, you know. Mom and dad eventually say no. A little later, Jesus says, in John 16, verses 26 and 27, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. The Father himself loves you. So you have this connection with God himself that invites you to call him, to ask him for whatever you need, and he will hear you because he loves you and because you're connected to Jesus. Earlier in this section, Jesus says, chapter 14, verse 18, we're skipping around a little, just hitting the highlights. 14, 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Jesus tells his disciples on this night, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He's leaving, but not permanently, and his followers will not be left all alone. In verse 19, he says, they will see him, even when the world will not see him anymore. There are hints here, I think, of what will happen after his resurrection, how Jesus' followers will see him again. But Jesus' main point here is the connection his followers will have with the Father. How in that day, verse 20, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And then verse 23, Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. There's this great connection. We stay connected with Jesus through loving obedience, and on that basis, the Father himself loves us, and both the Father and the Son come and make their home with us. So followers of Jesus are never alone. On the contrary, through Jesus, we are well connected with both him and the Father. Stay connected to the Father. A third connection Jesus calls us to as his followers is our connection with God's Holy Spirit. So Jesus says in chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus is leaving, but he will ask the Father, with whom you are well connected, and the Father will give Jesus' followers a helper to be with them in Jesus' absence. Your Bible might call him a counselor or comfort or something like that. Jesus says, he dwells with you and will be in you. As Jesus was the presence of God in human flesh while he was on the earth, so the Spirit is the presence of God within Jesus' followers after Jesus' physical departure. One of the problems with Jesus leaving, we're totally used to this in our time because we've never had it any other way. was for the first time, Jesus' followers would be expected to bear witness about Jesus and grow in his teachings without him there. How were they supposed to have the understanding to know the truth and to grow in it without Jesus there to guide them? How were they supposed to have the strength and the wisdom to bear witness to him without him there to encourage them and teach them? And so Jesus says in chapter 14, verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." In Jesus' absence, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, would teach them all things and cause them to remember all that Jesus had said. And the Holy Spirit does the same for us today. He teaches us. He helps us understand what Jesus said. He helps us remember what Jesus said. This happens to us every now and then. You'll be in a situation that is confusing, it's hard, it's frightening, and suddenly something that we're taught in Scripture will come to mind, and it guides us to act in a manner that honors God in that situation, or it gives us peace somehow so that we remember to trust in God. And we wonder, how did that passage come to mind at precisely that moment? Part of the answer is that that's exactly what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. He would remind you of what Jesus taught. That's part of the blessing of our connection with the Spirit. Jesus says in chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." Jesus' disciples would not be alone when it came time for them to bear witness about Jesus. The Spirit would be with them, and he himself would bear witness to Jesus. We see the Spirit doing exactly that when we get into the book of Acts, sometimes witnessing to Jesus through miracles, sometimes through the courage or the teaching of the apostles and others as they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and sometimes through the church as a whole. The Spirit bears witness about Jesus. John 16, verse 12, Jesus says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Jesus was only on earth physically for a limited time, of course. And he says here in 16:12 that he himself did not teach his followers everything they needed to be taught. He had more to say to them. There were some things, though, that they just weren't ready for yet. But the Spirit, he said, would guide them into all truth. Whatever teaching Jesus personally had not supplied to them, the Spirit would provide it. And we see that happen later in the history of the church in those early years, as the Spirit did provide teaching to those who wrote the New Testament scriptures. And at times they said some things that Jesus himself had not specifically taught, as far as we know. Yet their teachings came from God through the influence of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus promises his followers this close connection with himself, with God the Father, with the Holy Spirit, so that we can bear fruit for God, so that we can pray, so that we can continue to learn and grow in Jesus' physical absence, and so that we can know that we are not alone. We are well connected to our God. And that's very good. But there's one more connection that Jesus talks about in his teaching in these chapters, a fourth connection. It's our connection with one another. We've already heard Jesus call us to that connection in his command to love one another. "This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you." That's how we stay connected to each other. At the close of his great prayer in chapter 17, Jesus says to God, 17 verse 20, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me, that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus prays here that all of us who believe in him may be one, perfectly one. That the love that the Father has for the Son may also be in us for one another. Sometimes we have this temptation as Christians, especially in a very individualistic society, to be really well connected to God and to enjoy that and to thrive in it, but sort of neglect our connections with each other. And that's just not what Jesus prays for here. But he prays that our love for one another would be so powerful that it would embody the love of the Father himself for Jesus the Son. Just as Jesus had said earlier in chapter 15, verses 10 to 12, that if we keep his command to love one another, we will abide in his love for us. And Jesus prays that our connection of love for one another would be so strong that through our being one, one with each other and one with God, the world may believe that God the Father sent Jesus. Our connectedness with God and with each other becomes its own testimony to the truth of Jesus, that he really is the Son of God sent from the Father. And people believe because they see the love of God in us as we love one another. And then looking further down the road, Jesus prays that those the Father has given him may be with him where he is, to see his glory given by the Father before the foundation of the world. That out of our connection with each other and with him and with the Father, out of that great connection of love and obedience, we may get to be with Jesus in eternal life and see his glory. Jesus was about to leave, but like a parent to a grown child leaving home for the first time, he called us to stay connected. Well connected to himself, to the Father, to the Holy Spirit, to one another. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus, so that we keep his commands, especially his great command to love one another. If we stay connected to Jesus like a branch to the vine, we will bear excellent fruit, and people will see that fruit in our love for one another, and they will believe, and God will be honored. This is what it means to follow Jesus, so that we may know that the Father, our Creator, loves us. We are never alone. We are never insignificant or unknown. The Creator of heaven and earth himself loves us and hears us when we pray. And so we should pray. We should use that great connection Jesus has given us. Since God loves us just as he loves Jesus, his Son, just as we love Jesus, his Son, and abide in him. This is what it means to follow Jesus. So that in Jesus' physical absence, we know the presence of God through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us to be our helper, to teach and remind us of the things Jesus said, to continue to teach us in Jesus' physical absence, and to bear witness through us and beyond us to the reality that Jesus was sent from the Father. We are well connected. As we abide in Jesus, we have a direct, continuing connection to him, to the Father, to the Holy Spirit. And the love we share with God then spreads out into a divinely powered connection with each other, just as Jesus commanded. Don't neglect that connection. This is what it means to follow Jesus. He prayed that we would be one with God, one with each other, loving one another. Jesus may not be physically present with us today until he comes again, but he loves us and he calls us to stay well connected. He died to connect us to God and to one another, and he has provided the connections that we need. So pray. Pray to God. And love. Love God. Love the people around you. Learn and grow by the power of the Holy Spirit and be one with God's people. We who follow Jesus are the best connected people in the world. Connected with God. Connected with one another. Live in this connectedness, because this is part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. May God bless you. Let's pray. Most High God, creator of heaven and earth, we come before you and pray to you because you taught us to, because you gave us this connection with you through Jesus. And as we honor him, and as we put our trust in him, we look to you, our God, and we ask you to bless us and give us life, and we ask you to grant us the things that we need and to guide us in our days. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Bless us through his presence and teach us and guide us and encourage us and help us to walk as we should, to put away sinful ways and to do what is right and good in your sight. We thank you for your great love. We thank you for giving us Jesus. We would love to see him face to face in the flesh. We haven't gotten to be the ones who got to see him, but we look forward to seeing him in all his glory one day. And we yearn for that day and look forward to it. Father, bless your church. Keep us well connected to you and to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.